Ladies and gentlemen, the United States government has a shadow government that spies on the American people. It launches false flag terror attacks against its own citizens, starts illegal and unjust wars for resources and imperial control, and is hell-bent on destroying what's left of our constitutional republic in order to establish a one-world government in its ruins. Those of you tuning into our program for the first time, we probably quickly realize that you're not watching the mainstream news media because the truth will not be televised, at least not by any of the major television networks who are owned and controlled by the mega corporations and the military-industrial complex. You will, however, routinely get a steady dose of the truth right here on the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm your host, Darren McBreen, and it is April 6th, 2012, and here's a quick look at what we have lined up for you this evening.
Tonight on the InfoWars Nightly News.
Has the Obama administration launched a vendetta campaign against Sheriff Joe Arpaio? Now the Department of Justice wants to install an embedded monitor in Sheriff Joe's office, and Sheriff Joe ain't having it. Then, a look at the green totalitarian movement associated with Agenda 21. Darren McBreen and John Bowne investigate. Plus, good news on the fight against GMO, InfoWars Nightly News reporter contest entries, and Dr. Laura Presley in studio with her latest campaign for Austin City Council and her crusade to remove the dangerous chemical fluoride from the nation's water supply. All that and more coming up during the next 30 minutes or so. But first, let's move right on to our top headlines. The Department of Justice attempts to install their own embedded monitor in Sheriff Joe Arpaio's office. As most of you are aware, Sheriff Joe recently launched an investigation into alleged President Obama's birth certificate with the intention of proving its authenticity and putting this whole issue to rest. But as it turns out, his team of investigators proved without a doubt that not only is Obama's birth certificate a complete fake, but in all honesty, it's a sloppy amateur forgery and amateur at best. And now it looks like that Sheriff Joe might be a target as the Obama administration, well, they're really going after him. They're preparing a lawsuit against him for racial profiling, as they claim his department is illegally targeting Hispanics as possible illegal aliens. And now the DOJ is even trying to install a court-appointed embedded monitor stationed right there inside Arpaio's office. And folks, we're talking full time. This is a duly elected official who represents, you know, roughly 4, maybe 5 million people within the greater Phoenix metropolitan area. And, well, Joe flat out refused to let him put that thing in his office. He told him to get it the hell out of there. It should be interesting to see what other dirty tricks the Obama administration has in store for Arpaio, but they got their hands full because I have a feeling he's the kind of guy that, well, he doesn't get intimidated very easily. And no big surprise, the corporate media, you know, they remain silent on this whole birther issue. But, you know, of course they have plenty of satire, and we're going to take a look at a little bit of that right now. As this is a clip from NBC during the Betty White birthday special.
An official birthday message from President Barack Obama.
Dear Betty, you look so fantastic and full of energy. I can't believe you're 90 years old. In fact, I don't believe it. That's why I'm writing to ask if you will be willing to produce a copy of your long-form birth certificate. Thanks, and happy birthday, no matter how old you are.
Thank you for being a friend. Travel down the road and back again. But it's true, you're a pal and a confidant. And if you threw a party in
And I want to thank one of our listeners for giving us a heads up on that clip. We had no idea it existed until somebody phoned in the Alex Jones show today and told us all about it. So it's an amazing clip. We thank you. Our next story, paralysis cases spike in wake of Bill Gates' polio vaccination effort in India. Expert medical pediatricians in India have criticized the World Health Organization and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation for their promise of polio eradication without noting the devastating side effects its vaccinations could and do inflict. Numerous problems have surfaced from what doctors in Delhi have termed an unethical advocacy that has spanned more than a decade. Now, there are literally, you know, I think there was something like 47,000 cases of non-polio paralysis reported in 2011. Just happened to be the same year that India was declared polio-free. Aaron Dykes goes into more detail in an article posted on our website where he compares the unethical partnership between the WHO and private entities with the corporation that we saw back during the H1N1 scare. And, you know, this is a deliberate campaign to create panic and false disaster. The article is posted by Aaron on Infowars.com. And now, some good news in the fight against GMO. As Poland announces a complete ban on Monsanto's genetically modified maize. In addition to being linked to a number of health problems, the pollen originating from this particular GM strain is called Mon H10, what may actually be devastating the dwindling bee population as well. So more and more countries, at least outside the United States anyway, are standing up against Monsanto, possibly the most corrupt and evil corporation ever. Hungary and India, for example, have recently slammed Monsanto with biopiracy charges. So certainly some good news on that front. Let's hope that that carries over to the United States. All right, looking forward to this one. We have a clip that was sent to us by none other than Alex Jones, where he illustrates how the system attempts to control us with simple diversionary tactics. He's titled this piece, How Media Distractions Work, French Bulldog Investigates.
Who is that? Who is that? Is that Sparky, who just got a little piece of turkey? Ladies and gentlemen, here's what the mainstream media does. With WMDs in Iraq and the Trayvon Martin story, all of it. It gets us chasing our tails. That is what it does. Over and over and over again. Meanwhile, the New World Order just sits back, manipulating humanity for the light show. That's basically the Matrix. And that's how this New World Order system operates. So my question to you is, are we sophisticated enough to learn about these different techniques that are used to control us and play us off against each other? Do we see what Madison Avenue is doing? Do we see the messages that are in the sitcoms and dramas and in the culture that are designed to make us a bunch of servile jellyfish so the establishment can control human destiny? And by the way, the establishment is not taking humans in a very nice direction, are they? No, because they themselves are drinking the Kool-Aid. Look at this little French bulldog. He sees the laser. He's about 4 months old. And he, of course, is part terrier. That's what Frenchies are. And it's a ratter. They love to chase rats. Back in the castles or houses, they would have these instead of cats to get the mice. And so he's having fun. The point is that the globalists give us football, NFL, for our tribal, you know, male bonding, to think of that as our tribes and what we fight for, not for liberty, not for freedom. And there's just so many other examples of how there's these empty things that aren't really real. The system uses to distract us. And while we're looking down with blinders on, the real world is going on all around us. Sparky, come here. I'm Alex Jones reporting for InfoWars.com, getting people to think outside the box and realize you don't have to believe what I believe. Just start thinking for yourself because there is more to reality. There are different agendas out there.
All right, and now we're going to take you to a local piece that was inspired by a man whose troubles began when he decided to clear some trees and brush infested with rats and snakes in his very own backyard. Apparently, he was unaware of the totalitarian intent that was lurking on the other side. The city of Austin, Texas has installed motion-detecting surveillance cameras along the property lines of people's backyards in western Travis County.
There ought to be a way eventually where those cameras can be oriented away from the homes if they want to watch for any movement or any trespass out there. They have a right to do that.
And if the surveillance cameras weren't intrusive enough, the city has also installed these prison-style fences along the property lines.
They put this prison fence up and have cameras pointed at you? And only you. In fact, one home just a couple down cleared all the cedar trees, planted grass, and mows the area, trespassing regularly out there to keep that area mowed. It doesn't make it, and yet they didn't put a fence up there. And put any cameras in.
These unfortunate residents are neighbors to an encroaching vacuum of government land grabbing, all tied to the precautionary principle of the UN's Agenda 21.
I was the county judge of Travis County when the Balcones Canyonlands conservation plan and the permit under the Endangered Species Act was applied for. This wasn't long after I took office in 1987. It was announced that the territory and nesting areas for the golden cheek warbler and the black cap vireo covered a huge area of western Travis County. And in essence, what the U.S. Fish and Wildlife said was that to enforce the Endangered Species Act, that there could be no tree clearing, there could be no development activity, anything that might cause noise during the breeding season, nesting season, it shut down any development in the western part of the county. A lot of public money, millions of dollars of public money that went into buying the preserves area from the landowners. The Nature Conservancy and others got private money in there and helped leverage purchases. Some property owners just sold conservation rights. They were able to stay there. They don't develop it, but they got paid to conserve their area. If they don't do a good job of managing the preserves and protecting them from fire, every bit of the money that was invested in public and private funds for these preserve systems is wasted. I don't think our elected officials are paying much attention to this. And instead, they're overreacting with this kind of bull hurting adjacent homeowners. For doing things that frankly should have been done by the government itself. They should have cleared those trees away from the neighborhoods and done a better job of managing the preserves so they help the species. So we got the worst of both worlds going on right now. But if you're considering buying a home next door and you see there's cameras out there spying on the backyard and this ugly, fence next door, you're not as interested in buying that home next door.
The precautionary principle states that if an action or policy has a suspected risk of causing harm to the public or to the environment, in the absence of scientific consensus that the action or policy is harmful, the burden of proof that is not harmful falls on those taking the action. Basically, guilty before proven innocent. The European Union deems this principle an actual law. While the United States has labeled it a precautionary approach and uses it to create policy. The genesis of Agenda 21 begins with the Brundtland Commission's Our Common Future, reported to the United Nations in 1987. This report defined the term sustainable development, stated as development that meets the needs of the present without compromising the ability of the future generations to meet their own needs. In order to define what these needs of the present are and what to implement in order to scale down daily aspects of human activity, Maurice Strong developed Agenda 21 and presented it at the Rio Earth Summit in 1992.
Climate change affects the very future of life on Earth. We have to remember that life as we know it on Earth has only existed for a very small portion of the Earth's history and within very narrow parameters. And we are changing those parameters. So life is actually in danger.
The four sections of 40 chapters of Agenda 21 leave no stone unturned when it comes to absolute control of humanity. It places nature above mankind and calls for an end to national sovereignty. The abolition of private property, the restructuring of the family, and restrictions on transportation and individual opportunity. This map clearly shows the human settlement zones according to Agenda 21 planned for the near future. Red is off limits, yellow is highly regulated, and green is normal use. President Clinton issued Executive Order Number 12852, creating the President's Council on Sustainable Development. The PCSD has eroded the foundation of U.S. public policy, according to the master plan of the United Nations ever since.
We are talking about a globalist plan that remakes your city to a specific model. This is not only in the United States, it's all across the United States and all across the world. And you'll see these plans. They are, they're called One Bay Area. They're called Four States, One Vision. They often have the word vision in them, or they might be your city 2050 or your city 2035. They're planning out to 2050. This is the planning, you know, what we're looking at is a planning revolution here. And it's a totalitarian plan that they're implementing. I want to let people know that totalitarian plans all share, every totalitarian plan, whether it was under Stalin or Hitler or Mao, they all share the same elements, and you will recognize it here in your country, wherever you live. You'll see that there's being a takeover and a total control of all land use, of your educational system, of means of production, your all of your resources, okay? Also, you'll see it's all for the common good. It's all for the fatherland. It's all for the homeland. It's all for everyone's good, right? The individual will lose against this. You see the scarcity mentality. Oh, there's not enough. You have to restrict yourself. You have to conserve. You know, am I a pig? Do I want to use everything up? No, but we're talking about, this is a totalitarian
well, this is about them controlling who they dole it out to. This is about them setting the standards, your light bulb, your toilet, your parking space, your roads, destroying your roads, and they admit to shut you down to make you poor so they can control you. They all brag about it.
And, of course, the green totalitarian movement continues with Barack Obama. And I'm looking right here. It says that in 2010, Obama raised $250 million in order to brainwash school children with public-private partnership propaganda. We want to thank Mr. Alshire for his comments on his client's predicament. Mr. Alshire, like many of you out there, was unaware of the local domino effect that is related to Agenda 21. And that brings us to our quote of the day. We may get to the point where the only way of saving the world will be for industrial civilization to collapse. And that was globalist Maurice Strong. Hey, now we're going to turn to the InfoWars Nightly News Reporter Contest, where let me tell you something, folks, the entries are pouring in by the day. They're looking better by the day as well. Don't forget that this is your chance to crash through the lies and disinformation and propaganda of the globalist. There's also $10,000 in prizes and your chance to become part of the InfoWars team right here in Austin, Texas. The contest rules are located at InfoWars.com/reporter-contest. And coming up during our break, we're actually going to show some of the clips from a few of the entries of this competition, as it is certainly starting to heat up. It is 1776 worldwide. We're going to go to break, and when we come back, Dr. Laura Presley in the house. We're going to talk about, well, removing the fluoridation of the water supply of our nation when we come back right after this. Stick around.
This is Nick Walker reporting for InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com on this April 3rd, 2012. We have currently traveled to beautiful Northern California to the college campus of California State University Chico, where a Ron Paul rally is being held. The interesting thing about this rally is that it was not along Ron Paul's scheduled stops. The people of this community reached out to the Ron Paul campaign to have this Republican presidential candidate come visit their Northern California town. Here at InfoWars, we have taken the responsibility to cover the media manipulation and blackout that has occurred on Ron Paul's 2012 campaign. And in that responsibility, we have decided to report directly from the front lines, directly from ground zero, to see exactly what the prostitute media does not want you to see along Ron Paul's 2012 campaign trail.
Alex Jones, we love you!
What is it about Ron Paul's message that intrigues you, man?
The ending the war on drugs, definitely the most, and the draconian war that we've had on medical marijuana in the state of California has been horrendous, and Ron Paul would be the only presidential candidate who would end that.
Right on, man. What do you think about InfoWars and Alex Jones?
Dude, Alex Jones is the greatest. I'm a longtime listener. I actually have him in my phone. I can listen to him 24/7. Greatest man alive, dude. We love him, dude. He's awesome. Thank you, Alex, dude, if you're there watching. So.
Thank you, man.
Thank you, dude. I appreciate it, man.
Welcome. Thank you for watching. I'm Dan Forrent, reporting for InfoWars.com. Today's date is April 5, 2012. Story in the news, because that's the way it is. Roll the tape.
An InfoWars.com reader wrote in about a Colorado father whose child goes to school at the Cherry Creek Public School District in western Arapahoe County in Colorado.
Here's a small clip from Coney 2012 on what this man's child had to watch.
The thing that's really grinding my gears right now is this whole 99% 1% thing. I watched a documentary the other night on Crosby, Stills, and Nash. Now, I'm not really a big fan of their music. I'm more of a Pantera, DMX kind of guy. But I was watching this documentary, and I respect them because they are activists. They, from back in the 60s, they were against the Vietnam War, and now they're against the Afghanistan and Iraqi War. And it was interesting because it was a long documentary, and they were interviewing different fans. And the cool thing about it was they interviewed both sides of the story.
This is JB reporting right outside the Barack Obama National Headquarters, Democratic Headquarters, and Lancaster County, Lebanon County, I'm sorry, folks. But we have someone here named Vivian who we're going to interview, and it's going to be about Barack Obama. Again, we are outside the National Democratic Headquarters for Barack Obama, and we're asking people on the street how they feel about Barack Obama, and we're going to ask them some questions and see if they're really aware of what Barack Obama is actually about. Vivian, come on over. Okay, Vivian, first of all, did you vote for Barack Obama last year?
No.
Okay. And do you know anything about Barack Obama, or how do you feel about Barack Obama?
I think that he gets more crap than he deserves. He definitely did not have a good stepping stone to start his presidency. I don't believe with some of his beliefs. But.
Sure. Okay, well, I'm going to run some things by you, and you tell me how you feel. Did you know that Barack Obama spent almost a couple $1 million on a law firm in Chicago to block access to finding out whether he was a U.S. citizen? And if you didn't know that, how do you feel about that?
Seems like something's fishy to me.
It does seem like something's fishy. Okay, there you go. Also, there was a bill called the NDAA that was signed into legislation recently by Barack Obama. And Barack Obama, which puts people in a position where we can be bagged and tagged and taken to a detention center never to be seen from again. Barack Obama claimed that he didn't want to use this law, but he signed it anyway. Upon doing further research, we found that he indeed wanted that put in and actually specified having it put in. How do you feel about that?
Liar, cheater, two-timer. Yeah.
There we go.
Announcing our biggest contest ever, and we're looking for people who love freedom and who want to be all in the resistance to tyrants. So you say you want to fight the New World Order. Why, if you were on the radio, if you were Alex Jones, you'd really kick some globalist ass. Well, here's your chance. We're hiring not one, but two new reporters whose reports are going to be on the radio, whose reports are going to be on the nightly news, who will even anchor the show. If you're ready, here's your chance to step into my shoes, and I hope you surpass what I've done. Two winners, $10,000 in prizes, and a shot to be a reporter inside the Infowars.com command center. We're looking to hire one male reporter and one female reporter. And when you win $5,000. Your video gets seen by hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people on YouTube, and you get put into the very front of the running to be hired as a reporter slash anchor right here in our operation. Do you have what it takes to be the next Info Warrior? The rules are posted below me here and at InfoWars.com. This is a big deal. You know, the globalists are expanding their global empire, but at the same time, the people are waking up all over the world. We've expanded our operations in the last year. We've added the nightly news 5 nights a week. We're making more special reports. We're reaching 15 million people every week. In a year, I want that to be 30 million. This is your chance to join the team. I want to see what you can do. But a big hint is this. Can your news piece make the news? Does it get people's attention? Does it educate people? Does it open minds? That's more important than being beautiful or speaking with perfect eloquence as an orator. All of that is important. But we're looking for people that have that magic spark, that fire of liberty in their heart, because I want you to join our team. I want to give you a launch pad so you can really take off and engage the globalist. And if this works, we'll have contests all the time, and we'll continue to build this operation. I'm involved in a talent search, looking for people who have the fires of liberty burning in their hearts and their minds. You've got until April 30th to complete your news report, and then we'll announce the winners 1 week later. Are you going to join the Info War? Do you have what it takes? It's up to you. All serious entries will be posted on InfoWars.com. So everybody wins. You're getting the message of liberty out, and that's what really matters. But in the final equation, it's not about showing Alex Jones what you got. It's about showing the world and the globalist that no army can stop an idea whose time has come. Join me in the InfoWar. So you say you want to fight the info war. You say you want to go head up against the New World Order. You can do a better job than Alex Jones. I know you can. And here's your chance to prove your mettle.
Back. Thank you for joining us. This is the InfoWars Nightly News. Once again, I'm your host, Darren McBreen, and I'm looking forward to this next segment as we have a very special guest with us in studio. And, well, she's no stranger to the Alex Jones Show, as she's appeared on our program several times now. And we salute her opposition, along with Fluoride-Free Austin, and their opposition to protect people from the damaging chemical fluoride that is being dumped into our water supply. She's also an activist on many other fronts as well, and she's now running for city council, and she certainly has my endorsement. Please welcome to the program Dr. Laura Presley, PhD. Laura, it's good to have you back.
Hey, Darren, thank you for having us, and thanks for all you do to help educate all of us on fluoridation and other big issues that are going on.
Well,
thank you.
And we're doing it together, and I have a few items here that I'd like to go over with you. What made you decide to run for city council, for one? You also mentioned off camera that you have concerns about Apple Corporation and they're expanding their operations here in Austin. So we're going to talk a little bit about that as well. But first, let's start, let's begin with the fluoridation issue. You know, most of our viewers are aware that fluoride science is corporate science, or science for hire, if you will. So tell us what you know about the important individuals and institutions, you know, like the Mellon Institute, or, you know, these various entities who have played a pivotal role in shaping public opinion or public policy, getting people used to the idea of fluoride. How did it all begin?
Fluoridation really started in the 1940s. There were some studies that came out that showed there was a small impact to reducing of cavities with ingested fluoride. And the studies were really supported and funded by the sugar industry back in the 1940s. And so it did show a slight improvement in cavity reduction. But as we know now, we're, you know, 60, 70 years later, and there's a lot of health studies that have shown that thyroid issues, people that are sensitive to hypothyroidism, are impacted with fluoride in their water, even at very small levels. We know that the pineal gland is affected. We know health studies have shown from Harvard, shown that boys are susceptible to cancer at a 5 to 7 times increased rate compared to boys, young boys that have not been exposed to fluoridated tap water. So there's a myriad of health studies that have come out in the last 10 to 15 years that really refutes that old data, you know, 16, 70 years ago.
And even in the last couple of years, the CDC, the American Dental Association, yes, they recommend that, you know, infants don't take fluoridated water, baby formula, that sort of thing. We found a clip, and it's actually taken from the Glenn Beck radio show, and I wanted to share it with our viewers. One of the callers to Glenn Beck's radio program managed to get past the gatekeepers on the show, and he schools Glenn Beck, in my opinion, on water fluoridation, and Glenn Beck responds by, well, acting in typical Glenn Beck fashion. Let's play that clip real quick.
John in Philadelphia, listening to us on WPHT. You're on the Glenn Beck program.
Glenn, thank you for taking my call, sir. This may seem extremely trivial considering everything that's going on, but it's something that I'm passionate about. I studied and looked at the effects of fluoride in our water. Now, the ADA and the government agencies would have us believe that it's good for our teeth. And with that being said, okay, if it's good for our teeth, that's understandable. Why put it into our water? We drink it. It goes into our body and it accumulates in our body. Drinking fluoride is the equivalent of drinking suntan lotion to prevent from getting a sunburn. I don't understand. If I could get one person in your audience to look up fluoride and to stop using fluoride, I'll be happy. If I could get you to investigate and look into fluoride and what it does and the effects of it, I would be ecstatic.
I don't think I can make you ecstatic. I mean, I just don't think, I mean, good God, man, the world is on fire. You want me to stop and look why we're putting fluoride in our drinking water?
Yeah,
I'll drink buckets of fluoride, man.
Say that again?
You can put a straw in a bucket of fluoride, I'll be a happy little sippy cup all day if that's the worst thing we got going for us.
It's not the worst thing we got going for us, but it's the equivalent of mass medication. And I know as you look into different government agencies and over the years, do I think it's a conspiracy? No. I think it was big business that somewhere along the line discovered that they can get rid of what equates to a poison. It's not a natural organic. They use the fluoride from the aluminum industry and use that and disperse it into our water.
Look, may I just quote scientific consensus. 9 out of 10 dentists agree.
Yes, you know, pretty naive reaction. We have another clip, though. We're not done. This one's much quicker. This is Keith Olbermann, MSNBC's Keith Olbermann. He makes fun of U.S. Senate candidate Sharon Angle for her opposition on water fluoridation. Let's take a look.
Oh, and Ms. Angle also voted against fluoridizing the water because she thinks the fluoride might be poison. And you thought Orly Tates had lost last night.
So, you see, what I'm pointing out, I guess these are the stereotypical examples or responses that we've learned to expect from the mainstream media. And I would imagine it's kind of similar to what you're getting from the mayor of Austin and the city council, am I right? I mean, tell us about some of the run-ins you've had with the city council when it comes to the water fluoridation issue.
Yes, you know, there's a couple of council members that really do understand that the mechanism of fluoridation is topical. And this is why when you go to the dentist and they put the topical fluoride on your teeth and they tell you to spit it out, it's very interesting to me that several council members understand this. But what they're really worried about, and we have presented data to them over the last 3 years, you know, presented chemical data, testimony from experts, PhD chemists, dentists, pharmacists. You know, one of the big pharmacists in town, Bill Swale, he has presented to them that, hey, here we are, you're putting this medication into the tap water and there's no dosage control. A small child and a large man as yourself, Darren, gets the same amount of fluoride in one glass of water. And that makes no intuitive sense, no logical sense to anybody, even some of the council members. But really, there's a reason why they will not get the fluoride out. The CDC is the biggest proponent of fluoridation. And the Austin City Council has about $7 million worth of grants that they receive from the CDC. And I think they're very worried that they will lose those grants if they get the fluoride out, even though they understand, in some cases, the chemistry and the mechanisms and the health issues.
So
that's what we're up against.
So what you're up against is they're representing special interest groups that have a lot of money backed, you know, behind them.
Yes.
And they're not representing the people.
They're not representing the people. And, you know, we even backed up with Fluoride for Austin. We said, you know, okay, we don't have the votes on the city council right now to get the fluoride out. So let's put a warning on the water bill to educate.
I remember that.
Educate our citizenry.
And I thought that was a slam dunk. I thought
We thought that was very simple. And we just wanted a warning on the water bill. Since infants below 6 months, really parents need to understand that it's not good for children at that age. Babies, their kidneys aren't developed. They cannot filter out the fluoride as we as adults can. We thought that was a slam dunk. They wouldn't even do that. So at that point, you know, we'd been testifying. I'd been testifying on a lot of other topics other than fluoride, and I just got fed up with them. And I said, I'm going to run for city council, and I'm going to run against Mike Martinez in place two and make a difference on that council.
Well,
there's nobody on the city council right now, the Austin City Council, that has a technology background or a business background. So the decisions they're making, they're relying on staff input instead of their own knowledge. And we need somebody with that expertise on the council, and that's what I can do.
That's right. Well, good for you. And
thank you.
I imagine the campaign's going well,
it's going very well.
By the bumper stickers, Laura Presley for, you know, city council. I've noticed in them. I've got one in my truck, too, by the
way.
Thank you. I've also seen, you know, the signs, yard signs, but a Facebook presence, and, you know, and so you're becoming kind of a local celebrity, you know, a local Ron Paul, if you will.
Yeah. that's one thing that they, you know, because of my background, my business background and my technology background, we are a very strong candidate against this incumbent.
Mm-hmm.
And the incumbent has voted against so many issues that the citizens are against what he's done. And so all he can say right now is that she's a Ron Paul supporter and we can't have one of those in the city council here in Austin.
Yeah.
And that has infuriated a lot of people in Austin. We have a lot of Ron Paul supporters, and I support Ron Paul. I don't agree with Ron Paul on everything, but his stance is on the unconstitutional wars. His stance is on the NDAA and the bailouts. You know, I am anti-bailout, anti-war, anti-NDAA, and I'm supporting him because of those issues. I don't agree with him on everything, but those are my core beliefs and my core values. But to say that we can't have someone with that kind of belief on the city council, it's an atrocity. We need diverse thought. We need people.
Well, it should be red flag for everyone. You know,
it's a red flag. And that's his only dance move right now is to say, we can't have this Ron Paul supporter.
Say, thank you for the compliment.
I was like, yeah, thanks for the advertisement.
There you go. Well, okay, let's talk about Apple Computer and their decision to expand operations in Austin, Texas. Tell us what it means to the taxpayers of Austin. Because, I mean, here's a $100 billion, roughly, company, and they need money from us? What's going on?
Yes, that's a very good point. So they are $110 billion cash-rich, cash-in-the-bank company,
that's
global
right.
corporation. And they've come to the city of Austin and the state of Texas. Texas has given them, Rick Perry has given them $21 million in tax breaks. They came to the city of Austin and said, we want $8.6 million in tax breaks. This is an outrage. Citizens in Austin, and we've said, why are you doing this? This company doesn't need our money. This is corporate welfare. And there are a lot of issues with it. The city council has voted to give them the subsidy because they're bringing 3,600 jobs. we could, over a 10-year period, we could create over 300 jobs per year over the next 10 years if they would invest that money in our small businesses in Austin and not to this global corporation. Yeah. So citizens in Austin, we are very, very upset about this. My opponent voted for the subsidy to Apple, and the return on investment calculations that they do to try to show the economic benefit are seriously flawed. I've looked at that. I used to do a bunch of return on investment calculation analysis in my job in the semiconductor industry. Mm-hmm. And this model's flawed, and we're not really seeing the benefit. We're not going to get the benefit that they're saying we're going to get. So we're not happy about it.
Well, good. See, this is exciting because we need someone like you to go in there and stir things up. And it's long overdue. And I'm being motioned that we're kind of short on time. You know, this is a quick interview today. But so I guess we're going to wrap things up. But yeah, I just want to say behalf on everyone here at InfoWars, the entire crew, it's good to have you in our corner. And I hope people watching across the country will get inspired and do something similar in their communities, like running for local office. You know, running for city council, because, you know, let me tell you something, folks, these type of changes are not going to happen on their own. You have to get up and do something. You have to make the changes yourself. And imagine, you know, what would happen if Lord willing, you know, you were to be, you know, you were elected and you managed to overturn this, the water being fluoridated in our community. This could very well set the precedent for the rest of the country. I mean, this could be like dominoes. After Austin could be Dallas, and then Houston, and then the rest of the nation, and we could pass that blueprint torch, if you will, onto the rest of the communities. And you know, this could very well be the beginning of the end of water fluoridation in our company. In our country, you've got to believe.
So I think the biggest piece that I can provide on the council is education, and provide the data and provide the information to the other council members, because it takes 4 votes out of 7 council members.
I was going to ask you about that.
Yes,
okay,
it takes 4 votes. So we... You know, I can't do it by myself, but education, and also the warning on the water bill is really the first step to educate our community. So that is, you know, that's something that we're going to be looking at.
Okay. Well, like I said, we're running out of time. Any closing comments that you'd like to address before we close out?
Yes. So thank you, Darren, for all you've done for all of us to educate all of us on fluoride, on all the other topics that InfoWars does. So thank you. But I'm running for the city council to make a difference, and there's a lot of things going wrong. The subsidies that we're giving, the technology background that doesn't exist on the city council right now, and we can provide that, and we can provide the business background and ask those hard questions. So thank you for having us, and if people would be interested in donating to our campaign, we need it. It's PresleyForAustin.com. And we would love donations. We're going to have a money bomb this week, and so if you guys could start us off, we would love it.
Well, fantastic. All right. Well, it was certainly a pleasure having you on. And I'm sure we'll have you back on in the near future. Thanks for coming out.
You're wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you. And that just about does it for tonight's show. We will be back, Lord willing, next Monday through Friday, Central Time, 7:00 p.m. Central Time. And until then, have a blessed weekend. Don't forget why we celebrate Easter. And we'll see you back on Monday. I'm out.